I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my professionals, my longtime colleagues, John Fund of the National Review Online, David Drucker of the Washington Examiner. We begin with the next story that is dominating, which is the border tragedy. This last week, thousands, tens of thousands of people have gathered along the Mexican-American border from Texas to California. There are more in Mexico, more coming from Central America. Anecdotes suggest that by the end of the year, there will be 2 million encounters along the border, including 200,000 unaccompanied children. And therein lies the mystery. Congress is reacting. There have been a number of CODELs visiting, two I can think of in particular, visiting Texas this week, Republican CODELs. But Democratic members of Congress have spoken out forcefully about this tragedy. So, David, I begin with you, because a week ago, the question was, is Congress paying attention? They certainly are. Steve Scalise was on the border, and his shock was obvious, because behind him in the video you could see the waves of people coming through the bushes to immediately go to a border authority figure and surrender, to be bussed, to be processed, and perhaps to be kept in the United States, perhaps to be flown to San Diego. I don't know. So, David, the story is the Biden administration, they didn't ask for it. Perhaps they didn't invent it, but here it is. Do you at this point ascertain that the Biden administration is preparing a whole-of-government approach to this tragedy? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. And look, I think the Biden administration is trying to do everything it can with the problem it now finds itself in. I think, though, there are a couple of things. They continue to find themselves in a pickle because in trying to adjust border security policies and asylum policies from the Trump administration to, in their view, make everything more humane and make the United States more welcoming to asylum seekers with legitimate cases and to treat people who cross the border illegally more humanely. This is the view of Biden and his administration. They have helped to incentivize people wanting to come to the United States and willing to cross illegally. They have believed Biden. You know, it's very interesting. During Biden's news conference, his first and still only formal news conference of his young administration, a reporter posed the question as, if people wanting to come to the United States for a better life that are willing to cross the border illegally see you as a nice guy, as a different person than Trump, don't you in some sense then bear responsibility for what is happening at the border? And of course, what do you plan to do about it? And then some on the Republican side of the aisle looked at that question and thought, well, that's a biased question. They're saying Biden's a nice guy, but I think what the reporter was saying, what I took away from that I think is very important is, if in fact people south of the border that are seeking asylum, that are fleeing these troubled Central American countries, do believe that Biden is more welcoming than Trump, then isn't that incentivizing the crisis that Biden finds himself with? Isn't he responsible for it? And therefore, what does he plan to do about it? And I don't think the administration has yet figured out how to square that circle.
Mr. Fun, this is a political question now for the Biden administration to deal with. I understand that there will be political solutions. There certainly is the willpower on the part of the border authorities to handle this, but they're overwhelmed, John. What I learned from Steve Scalise's video was that there's no time to do anything. There's not even time to mention, to talk to significant members of Congress because of these waves of people coming. Does the Biden administration now evidence, John, in your opinion, that they take this as the number one issue in America, or are they still committed to their rollout of American Rescue Plan?
Their primary motivation right now is in convincing Americans that their $2.4 trillion infrastructure bill is actually about infrastructure rather than about social welfare schemes and expanding Medicaid and other government programs. Kamala Harris has been given the task of fixing the border. She has not yet visited the border. The Biden administration is desperate. They have asked government employees if they will take up to a 4-month paid leave in order to go down to the border to help care for these children, effectively being babysitters. I'm told that even though it's early days, there are not that many takers who want to go down to Texas, where the heat is not only from the border problem, but from the sun, which reaches 110 degrees by May.
What we have then, John, is the Biden administration without a complete answer. Do you sense, though, that there's some movement that wasn't true in the first weeks, John? Or is there still denial that this is a building crisis?
Well, I think they just hope that somehow it goes away, because they're not taking the steps necessary to end the crisis. You can't build shelters fast enough. Frankly, if you build more shelters, they will come. And you can't roll back the changes that Biden made, because that will look as if he's going back to the era of Trump. And, of course, the left, progressive left, will scream. So they're between a rock and a hard place, and I believe that the flow is going to only grow in the next few weeks.
We go to the political troubles of the Republican Party. Yes, the members of Congress along the border are highlighting a tragedy, but at the same time, the ongoing puzzle is about how the Republican Party recovers from the events of November, December, and January. David, you have a discerning piece up that the Republicans have not done much to repair the January 6th story, nor have they dealt efficiently with former President Trump's unhappiness. But they're raising a lot of money. Is there an explanation, to why the money flows despite the poor response to January 6th?
Yeah, well, first of all, grassroots Republicans who give money in small amounts online believe the president, the former president, about the post-election period and January 6th and the election being stolen. And House Republicans have embraced the former president's messaging in this regard. I mean, the leadership tries to strike a finer balance that, of course, Biden is president and, you know, the government continues to function properly, such that Biden was installed as the 46th president. But you'll find that in interviews, they still don't want to say that the election was fair and that Biden was fairly elected. They'll just acknowledge that he's the president. But because the Republican grassroots is with Trump, and because House Republicans are channeling that, they've been able to raise money. Now, it's also part of the hard work of House Republican leaders. And the fact, and this is also part of it, that when you have full Democratic control of Washington and you go around to wealthy Republican donors who may not like the former president's approach to things all that much, but worry about the policies that a Biden administration and a Democratic Congress are on the verge of implementing, you're going to get people who are willing to help Republicans fight back and take back Congress in 2022. If they can do that, then there's nothing Biden's going to be able to do that Republicans don't want him to do, more or less. And so I think the combination of being in the minority all around, and the fact that House Republicans have not repudiated Trump, and that House Republican leaders have not gotten themselves into lasting disagreements with Trump, is allowing them to raise money at a healthy clip. And the only thing I think is really important about this is, there was an open question after January 6th about whether money for Republicans would drop off between some disagreements with Trump and corporate America's hesitancy to continue donating through the corporate PACs. Maybe Republicans wouldn't be able to raise money. Well, they're able to raise money, and plenty of money. They just had their best march in an off year in the history of their campaign committee. And so I don't think money's going to be an issue in 22. Maybe something else will be, but it won't be money.
Mr. Fund, you have a piece at the National Review Online pointing out that Mr. Biden so far is presenting a progressive reform that eclipses that of the talk of the Obama administration. Two-part question. Have I said that correctly, that he's seeking to eclipse President Obama's progressivism? And does this help the Republican Party that Mr. Biden, not campaigning as a progressive, is now governing as a progressive?
Well, certainly much of the Democratic base is pleased that Biden has fallen in line with progressive principles. However, Biden's victory in large part depended on a sliver of about 10% of Republicans in key swing states who decided that Donald Trump was too antic, too exhausting, too crude, and they voted for Biden. They voted for Biden believing that he had been the most centrist Democratic candidate in the primaries and would govern as such. By not doing so, he does put that sliver of his support, which was so vital to him in 2020, at risk.
The risk, John, is about the 2022 election. History says that the Republicans will pick up seats in 2022. Is Mr. Biden indifferent to that, or is the pace that he's presenting, these trillions upon trillions, aware that the clock runs out in the election of 22? Is he aware of it?
Well, remember the famous Rahm Emanuel advice to Obama, you never let a crisis go to waste. The pandemic and the economic slowdown, which is the justification for this massive government intervention, will eventually recede. Therefore, there's less of an excuse to do that in the next few months. Therefore, the time to do it is now, especially because you may not have the chance to do it after the midterm elections for precisely the reasons you indicate. You may not have control of Congress.
What made me roll my eyes in your piece, John, was the flattery of a number of distinguished historians in this country who I think you could say are on one side of the aisle, talking about Joe Biden as LBJ and FDR together. Did that move him? Is that impressive to him? Is that a life dream?
To say that a president can be great if he emulates JFK or LBJ or FDR is to sing a sweet song that almost any Democratic president would be seduced by. And Joe Biden at 78 realizes he probably only has one term to achieve whatever the historians call greatness, and he's grasping for it.
John Fund of the National Review Online, David Drucker of the Washington Examiner. When we come back, Mitch McConnell is supporting the GOP incumbents for re-election in 2022. That's logical, but there's trouble with former President Trump on this matter. Is it profound trouble? I think it's just headline trouble, but we'll see when we come back. I'm John Batchelor, and then there is recall. These are two Californian reporters. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.